Welcome to the Canvas of the Soul podcast with your host, Anissa Patman. Enjoy the show. This part of the podcast is sponsored by Passion for Fitness. Build a new you. Train hard, smart, and with heart in a safe environment that provides you with the fitness experience of a lifetime. Virtual classes also offered. Log on to passionforfitness.org to learn more.
Hello, my listeners, and welcome back to Canvas of the Soul podcast. This is your host, Anissa Patman, and today we are continuing with our author series. I'm so excited to welcome author, writer, Thomas Hope to the show. So, Thomas, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Anissa. I'm excited to have the opportunity to spend some time with you, and welcome to all the listeners as well. And I hope that everyone is blessed and experiencing the best of what you can make out of this year so far.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. And just a little bit about Thomas. Thomas lives in South Florida, but you are a native of North Carolina, correct?
That's correct.
You are a husband, a father of four children.
Yep, father of four. I like to say buy two, get two free. my wife and I are both on our second marriages, so we brought two children each into the marriage. So
awesome.
Yeah, so we have that dynamic as well.
Awesome. You're also a businessman. You are an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you enjoy sports. I know that you enjoy your Miami Dolphins just from talking to you.
Yeah, you know, I still love my Panthers at heart because I remember when they, you know, when they created the Carolina Panthers. But I've actually been, you know, working for the Miami Dolphins for the last 15 years. So, you know, in that, obviously, you have to be a fan. But I've gotten into the organization and really geared.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you've also published, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've published three books so far.
Yes.
And then you've...
Yes, three books so far.
Yep. And you've also published two coloring book activities for the kids along with a couple of the books, right?
Yeah, so five titles total. And the coloring activity books are, I talk a little bit about when I'm talking and discussing my books, I talk about connection. You know, that's really what I want to help generate with, you know, parents and kids and mentors and kids, really. So, you know, the reason for the color and activity books is not just to keep kids busy or for them to be able to color, but the books and the color and activity books tie in together, right?
So right.
It's an opportunity to constantly reinforce. I've always said that I want children to be able to not just read my book and put it back on the shelf, but have a reason to go back to the book over and over again. So whether it's the coloring activity books, which creates a bonding moment for whoever is spending that time with that child.
Right.
And then they can relate back to the story. Oh, you remember this page? You remember what we talked about on that page? And here's what happened. They kind of reinforce that character moment. Even down to, you know, the games that are on my site where, you know, you can connect with the child and spend a moment and play a game together and still reinforce that character lesson.
Yeah, I saw those very interactive. So I thought that was awesome. And so for the listeners, as you can tell, Thomas is a writer of children's book. But before we get into the books, I also want to hone in just talking about your background, that you are the middle child of six children from a single parent home.
Yes. Middle child, six children. And, you know, everybody knows the middle child story, right? So that definitely fits because I have sisters that are older. I have all my sisters that are older. I have one younger brother and then two younger sisters. And, you know, I think it helped me, though, at the end of the day, because, you know, that middle child learns to do a lot on their own. And, you know, they have to attack things in a different manner.
Right.
And then plus my mom, you know, she had six kids by herself. And you know, we grew up in the worst neighborhood in North Carolina at the time. So, you know, she had her hands full just trying to keep us in our faith and keep us out of trouble and busy doing things, but to keep our minds busy and, protecting us from our elements. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Right. Kudos to her. I do know about the middle child syndrome, not personally because I'm the firstborn, but my sister's the middle child and she couldn't stand it.
Anytime you say you're a middle child, if someone else is a middle child, they perk up. They're like, yep, gotcha.
they definitely understand that. Now, I know just from talking to you and reading your books, what inspired you to begin writing the children books, but can you tell the listeners more about who inspired you to write these children's books?
Yes, and before I get into that, I just want to make sure for all your listeners, if you're looking for my books, they'll be under William T. Holt. Okay. I always say William is my government name. I go by Thomas. I have my whole life, but William is actually my first name, and I was named after my grandfather, who I call Papa. And to kind of tie into your question, the reason I write books is because I do a lot of mentoring and I try to spend time with kids. And I always have, especially here in South Florida where I live now. And they're the reason, right? I mean, I would engage with kids and, some of the kids you look at and you're like, man, you needed to spend a summer with my papa. I started to, just remember the creativity in which my grandfather would teach me these life skills and these character lessons. And I said, man, you know what? I can give kids, some time with my papa. And, I started writing the stories, 15, 20 years ago. And then I kind of put them on the back burner. And a good friend of mine and I ended up publishing our books together. And I'm now able to kind of, share these stories and some of that old school wisdom that I'm not sure that kids get nowadays, just some of those time tested, things that don't change.
Right.
Have been around since the dawn of man and they'll be around long after we leave and they cross cultural lines, they cross economic lines, they cross racial boundaries and religion. Everyone wants their kids to be, respectful and people want their kids to take care of things and people want their kids to be able to conquer fear. And these are things that, I try to articulate in the books.
Right. No, I think you do a very good job of it. And I think that you're right, too, that I think some of the kids today are missing some of those old-fashioned principles and teachings. And I think that it's definitely something that I think that this newer and younger generation could definitely benefit from. Because I know I was brought up that way as well, too. So I definitely agree with you on that. Now, I know that for some of your book, it was based on some of the adventures that you experienced with your grandfather. So can you expand a little bit on that?
Oh, absolutely. They're all true stories, right? So, obviously, I have to modify some things because, like, the work that I did when I was 8 years old, they probably wouldn't let 8-year-olds do. But my grandfather was just a very good, countryman, old man. He was a hard worker, sun up to sundown type of person. And he was, I say God loves everyone the same, but, he was a little fond of my grandfather. He just blessed him with so much wisdom and, the ability to connect and without a lot of words, without a lot of, fanfare. That's
right.
The thing. So, the stories are, what I try to get across with them and what I want to do with them is ensure that, I would say I have three reasons, right, for writing. One is to build character in the good kids that we have.
Right.
I think character, if you look at a lot of the statistics, and I know that here in South Florida, I'm part of a few organizations that, are trying to break that schoolhouse to jailhouse pipeline. And it's all, to me, it's all about character. You know, it's all about building character in kids. And my grandfather, when we were younger, he had a way of articulating and creating these scenarios, right? So these are true stories because he had this way of not just telling you what to do or to, tell you about something, but he involved you in a story and you learned the lesson on your own.
Right.
And it was that aha moment that I think is where you really connect. The things that he taught me, obviously, because I'm writing books about him now, but the things that he taught me, I remember the moment that I got it.
Right.
The moment that I had that moment of, oh, I get it, you know?
Right.
And that stays with you. And I love it. Oh, man, you know, it's one of my greatest thrills to go in the classroom or an auditorium full of kids and, you know, talk through, you know, read one of the books like Brand New Shoes. And the moment that Thomas in the story gets it, you can see their faces and you can hear it audibly. Oh, you know, and that's just like, wow, you know, years, I mean, decades later, that story still has the impact that it did on me
right.
when I was 8 years old. Yeah. So, yeah, they're true stories. And I think that there's an element of truth that resonates with people. You know, it's not something that I pulled out of the air. It's things that happen to me. It's how you can tie in where I came from to where I am, and hopefully, you know, where I'm going. And there's that element of real,
right,
that people can tie in. Yeah.
And for the listeners, we're going to definitely tell you where to purchase the books. But I read two of the books, and the one that I enjoyed, I say the most is the. The book that's titled The Tale of Yellow Bear. And I enjoyed that for a lot of various reasons. I like the lessons that your grandfather was teaching you. But I also like some of the things that you did in the book that caused a little laughter and just how you were kind of looking side eye sometimes, I guess, at your grandfather. He was trying to teach you certain things.
You know, some of the stuff when you're younger and, you know, you're listening to someone that's much older than you, you look at them like, man, are you serious? Do you even understand? And then when you get it, you're like, wow, they knew more than me in the first place.
Right, exactly.
But that was fun to write. I mean, Yellow Bear. And the fact that it's really three different stories happening at the same time. And it's, you know, I kind of wrote it like a Tarantino flick. I mean, you probably gathered that where, you know, I dropped the reader into all this action that's happening. And then
yeah, you did.
I pull them out and articulate these three stories that meld together that teach a truth and a life skill that if kids employ it today,
right,
you know, they can really place themselves in a position to achieve their dreams because it's all about focus. It's all about being able to focus. And people used to tell me when I was a kid, you need to focus. I heard that thousands of times, but focus is, first of all, a weird word when you're 5-6 years old.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're like, what is focus?
Right.
You know, so, you know, the book was a hopefully entertaining way to articulate really what focus is, how to do it, how to apply it. And you can see in each story where focus was applied and then ultimately, how the protagonist was able to, you know, achieve that ultimate goal. So I think that's some really good feedback on it from schools that I've gone to. One kid wrote me a letter and said, man, I read that book in one sitting. And to me, that's great because a lot of times, you know, kids have to put a book down or they're not interested. But, you know, I tried to make it a page turner.
No, you did. I was supposed to be studying my for a certification. I was like, I'm reading this. Like, this is... And I'm a grown woman, so.
That's a great compliment. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. But what I liked about, and I don't want to give the story away for those who haven't read it, though, but it's like every year you were trying to conquer this obstacle without me giving away everything. And then I liked how your grandfather in the book taught you, kind of like you were saying, to focus, to hone in, and to gather your thoughts, and then to focus on what you really want and what you're trying to achieve. And I think that's an important lesson that that we should be teaching our kids on, like you said, how to focus, what exactly does that mean, how to gather your thoughts, and then how to focus on accomplishing, you know, whatever your dream may be. It could be more than one dream, but just that process that he created for you, I thought, in the book, I thought that was really endearing. I thought that was great. I thought that was really great. You guys. And I like how you show in the book, too, and I'm sure you show in the other books, just the relationships, the relationship that you and your grandfather had together, and that you enjoy spending time with him. And I loved his laughter and his humor in the book, because he would laugh at you a lot.
Yeah, and that's true. Laugh at me, not with me. But sometimes I wasn't laughing. But no, you know what, Anika, that's really the heart and the theme song of all of the books that I write. It's that it's connecting.
Right.
It's connecting. You know, I said the first thing that I write for is to build character in kids. The second thing I write for is the long word that it's called intergenerational connection. Right?
So right.
It's how do I connect an older generation with a younger generation? Because, you know, you hear it all the time. Look, life doesn't come with a manual. Life doesn't come with a manual. But I disagree. I think that there are manuals walking around with gray hair all day long. And if you take a moment to listen and just to sit, especially the younger you are, and it's two sides to that, right?
So, right.
So it's the older generation being able to connect with the younger generation. And it's the younger generation giving that respect to the older generation and really listening and taking in what they're saying. And again, it's that connection. And you talk about that relationship that we had. And I'm telling you, that's, you know, I think God used that to save my life from the direction, you know, where I was, because my grandfather would take me out of the hood, dark in the hood, you know, out to the countryside, away from all the distractions, and we had an opportunity to connect, you know. And he was a great listener, which was another great thing for me. My grandfather always said, you know, he could listen to you ramble on for 2 hours about something and then say four sentences and write the entire world, you know. And
it's right.
Like, wow. You know, and you know, you try to become that, because that's what it is. It's not just about being there. It's not about being kids, you know, taxi driver or their ATM or their babysitter. It's about, you know, that eye-to-eye connection and that audience of one moment.
Right.
That really, really is going to make a difference in kids' lives.
And I think you're so right when you were talking about forming that connection with the younger generation and the older generation, because I think sometimes, not all, but I think sometimes the older generation, they just kind of say things sometimes to you, and that, like, that's law, and then they kind of give you the impression that they never have gone through anything, and I think that's where sometimes that's where the disconnect comes in, but if you really, but how the connection that you form with your grandfather, I can see how he took the time to kind of formulate and, you know, tell you stories so that you could get the lesson and then let you experience things, you know, on your own. So I think you're absolutely right. That connection needs to be formed more than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I tell people all the time, if I had my way, if money wasn't an object, you know, I would go around and really try to connect with kids and build that character. You know, if you look around at, you know, anything horrific that happens in the world, anything horrible that happens in the world, I truly believe, without fail, you'll find a breach of character. You'll find somewhere along the line where somebody's character was either selfish or greedy, or, you know, and it's about helping them make the right decision. You know, with my own kids, I tell them, look, I've never claimed that I've made all the right decisions.
Right.
But one, I've owned them all. And then two, I want them to learn from me how to weigh the good and the bad, weigh the rewards and consequences. And I tell them, look, It doesn't matter who you get your counsel, your pressure, your information, your guidance from. At the end of the day, your decision's your decision.
Right.
And I think that's missing a lot of times. You know, when people make bad mistakes, they want to blame everyone else but themselves.
Right. So take accountability.
You know. Yeah. Exactly. And that accountability is what helps you to stay on a line of integrity, and a line that is managed by something that's greater than you.
Yeah.
You know.
I was partially raised by my grandparents too, my great grandparents, and so I know a lot of my teachings come off of my daughter until, like, even today when she was visiting her, she had spent the weekend with her aunt and her aunt's fiance, and the fiance has a huge house. You can tell has lots and lots of money. And I said, and she was just excited. I said, you know how she got that, right? You know how the fiance got that, right? And she was like, I know, mommy, she worked for us. I said, as long as you know, I don't want you getting excited about materialistic things, not knowing. I guess I killed the joy of it for her. She was just, but I just want her to understand. I don't want her to get excited about materialistic things so much that she loses that focus that, hey, this is how you get those things. So I could definitely understand. I think I drive her crazy, though.
Yeah, that's important, though. It's part of the message of Brand New Shoes.
Right.
And that was a true story, how my grandfather, and I mean, you read the book, and how he used this moment, these two pair of shoes that were exactly the same. And, you know, when I explain the story to people, and I talk about, you know, how my grandfather bought me a pair of shoes, but he bought me, the hottest, newest shoes out, and then he made me buy the exact same pair, and how that didn't make sense to me. But at the end of the book, you find out exactly why it makes sense. And, I carry that lesson on with my kids. And I always told them, I said, look, if I was a millionaire, I'd treat you the same way. You know, my kids wanted something, especially when they were older, obviously, when they were able to find ways to earn money and things like
right.
that. I would say, okay, how are you going to get your half? You know, and there were some things that we bought them, but things that, that take one that cost a lot of money, but two that had the requirement of care, you know?
Yeah.
My oldest daughter now, she bought her own cars, and they're always taken care of. Every time I see her, she can tell me when the last oil change was, and she can tell me, it's clean, and she knows how much gas is in, and she knows when the maintenance is due. And it's feeling that I think we lose nowadays, because a lot of us want to give our kids what we didn't have.
Right.
You know, and when I'm mentoring kids, there's one young man that I've mentored, and his parents just didn't understand. His mom didn't understand. Like, I don't understand that, we're hardworking, and, he sees how much I work to do things. He just doesn't take care of things. I'm like, well, he's 9 years old. Where'd he get that iPad? Where'd he get that cell phone? I said, did you get those things when you were younger? And of course not. So how do you expect him to have the same level of respect for things that he didn't have to struggle for? Your struggle gave you that respect. You know, and even when I go to school, I relate kids' lives to butterflies. And part of that, part of that process for the butterfly is it has to struggle to get out of that cocoon. And if it doesn't, it doesn't fly.
Right.
That's the way it gets the strength in its wings to fly, because that cocoon's hanging upside down.
Right.
Gravity is a terrible teacher. We all know that.
Yeah.
But, if that butterfly doesn't struggle to get out, if you help a butterfly out of a cocoon, it's destined to do. So it's, you have to be careful of over assisting or enabling, kids, and even at a younger age, it's teaching them. It's not being mean or anything like that, but it's truly going to help them more than it's going to hurt.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I agree with you on that. And you've already kind of touched on it, because I was going to ask you, how are you using your books to inspire and uplift children in the community? And it sounds like you do a lot of different activities in the community, like going to the schools and reading your books and things like that. Are there any other activities that you want to share about? Because I know you give back to the community a lot, just, using your gift as a writer.
Yeah, you know, as much as I can. And, I have the children's book series, but I do conversations with all levels. I talk to middle schools, I talk to high schools, and each one is level appropriate, right? So, with middle school kids, it's talking about, what uniform do you wear? That's an interesting conversation.
Right.
And the way that I present it to them, because, you gain and lose more opportunities than you'll ever know just by the way you carry yourself.
Right.
You know, people by nature stereotype. It's how we as human beings know how to approach someone we don't know. You know, we take what we see, what we hear, all the senses, and we put that in a box that we understand, and that's how we approach people. So you have to be careful. And I tell these middle schoolers, you got to be careful what you post. You have to be careful how you dress and how you talk. And, because, you can go into a scenario thinking that you are, representing yourself one way, and it's not that way, and you lose an opportunity before you even had it.
Right.
You can dictate the uniform you wear. If you see a bunch of police people standing around in police uniforms, you're going to assume they're policemen too, right?
Right.
So if you're standing around and hanging around a bunch of people that are into things that you should not be, then people are going to assume that you are too. So, it's helping them to hopefully understand the impacts of things that are not necessarily, hardwired for them.
Right.
And to think beyond right now, because a lot of people make decisions right now that affect them much later. And us being in staffing, we see that, right? So, we have the stories of people, brilliant kids that come out of school and, do everything right in the interviews, and then they go to the organization does a check on them, social media. They have some crazy things in their social media, and it hurts their opportunity.
Yes.
It's things like that. My daughter thought, she said, "Oh, Dad, I erased that." And I'm like, "Sweetheart, nothing's ever erased."
No, never. They can always bring it up.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. So it's working with all levels of kids, but also working with leaders in the community. I'm part of a group here in South Florida, and it's a larger group across the nation, but it's the 5,000 Role Models of Excellence, and it's men, coming together to guide this younger generation of young men. And I love the character of these guys, and I love the way that they are reaching out and, using opportunities to make that connection with the kids in Broward County Schools. And, I know that there are chapters in other schools, but that's one of the groups that, I'll take PTO, take time off to go and support them and try to be a mentor to some of these kids, because that's our future,
Right.
If you invest in your future, then you'll get that reward, but it's more than just that to me.
Right.
So it's, people always want to change the world, but nobody has a plan. So, how are you going to do that? What's your way? Well, mine is to use every tool that I can create, and, the wisdom that my grandfather, passed down to me that I know is true and is proven, and try to instill that into these young men. And it's a ripple effect, right? So, when my grandfather changed, and I say my grandfather, but obviously the grace of God,
right,
along with my grandfather, through my grandfather, changed my trajectory. It's a ripple effect. It's a ripple effect to everyone that I touched, right? It's a different relationship with my family and my coworkers and my friends and my kids, my spouse, my wife, partner. It's a different relationship.
Right.
And imagine that as many times as you can. You can do it. So if you're watching a still pond, it's one thing for one water drop to hit the pond. But what you try to do is you try to create a rainstorm in your life.
Right.
You completely want to try to change the texture of that pond. And if you can, then you can change the world, even if the world is within your community. But that's going to organically spread. because those people are going to move around. So, you know, it's a charter that that we should do. I think you know, no one ever should just rest on their laurels. It's an opportunity. It's always an opportunity to make a positive impact in someone else's life.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. Now, I have a question too. So, your books, they teach kids, you know, a lot of life lessons about character, you know, and other important principles that they can, you know, make a part of their life. But what would you say to parents, parents that may be single parents that wish that they had a pawpaw, you know, like yours and mine's that could have been there to, you know, be there to help their kids, and they just don't have that. What do you suggest that they do so that they can try to teach their kids some of these principles, even though they may not have all the time to do it themselves because they don't have anyone like a pawpaw to lean on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think that there are, one, I would say, I think that there are pawpaws out there. You know,
yep.
There are people out there that are willing and wanting to be a mentor to kids that don't have someone there. But the one thing I would say is that kids watch what you do more than they listen to what you say. That's what I've learned.
Oh, yes.
So there are very subtle things that I think, you know, parents can do until, you know, there's someone that can connect. But here's, you know, before I go into that, I will say your kids are going to connect with someone.
Yeah.
And it would behoove us not to try and impact who that is. There is going to be someone that you don't know that they just organically, you know, connect to out in the street somewhere, or it's going to be, you know, someone that they see or that you introduce them to, or that, you know, they're put in the realm of, right? So I had a lot of mentors that when I was younger, folks that helped me see a different way that I met through church when I was a kid. When I was a child and growing up in North Carolina, went to one of the few truly integrated churches in North Carolina at that time, a racially mixed church.
Wow.
And I saw a different side of life from some people that I was able to engage with at a young age at church. And obviously my mom did her due diligence and understanding who those folks were before I was able to spend time with them. But,
right.
You know, she spent some time understanding that, I needed that help and guidance. And, you know, there are certain things that a man can teach a man, you know, a boy to be a man, you know, and there's certain things that a woman teaches a girl to become a woman, you know, so those folks are out there, I would say, look in the right spots, you know, but hopefully there's folks in the family as well that can help. But there are organizations out there, you know, Big Brothers, Boy Scouts, 5,000 Role Models, if you have that in your area. They're all organizations that have men that have character and that are vetted out and that will take the time to work with your child. Sports is another thing. You know, my mom for a while, you know, she didn't want me to play sports. She didn't want me to get hurt. And fortunately, I had all these military uncles that were like, let that boy play sports. And, you know, sometimes there were things that my coach would tell me, and my mom told me the same thing, but my coach said it, and it was, you know, a brown guy that looked like me, and I'm going to be that size when I get, you know, grow up one day, and he's teaching me football too. So, you know, it was an opportunity for me to listen to a different, same message, different voice. And
yeah.
You know, if you're a parent, you know how that works.
Oh, yeah.
You say it a thousand times, but then one other person says it, all of a sudden it's the greatest thing I ever heard, right? So,
oh, yeah.
You know, so sports could be one of those places as well. But I would also say, you know, like I said, you know, do your kids see you read? Do they see you read books? You know, when you go and have a moment to yourself, are you on your phone or are you, you know, the TV? Or are you, you know, doing something? Do they see you serve in the community? Do they see you helping others?
Right.
Do they see your kindness? You know, the greatest thing that we can be is an example.
Yes.
That's the greatest thing we can be.
That's so
and,
true.
You know, when I go into schools, you wouldn't believe how many kids, you know, when I say that I'm the author of the book, they just, their eyes just light up.
They just light up, right?
Yeah, they don't see a lot of authors. And I try to, when I go in school, I always try to have an author, you know, I do a lot of fun little things with kids, but one of them is, if they do whatever it is, you know, teachers use it for encouragement or, incentives. But, you know, one time, one school, they had kids write an essay and, you know, certain kids got picked to be in a team with the author. So we got snacks and tea, and they were able to ask me any questions about being an author and publishing books and that sort of thing. And, you know, that was great, you know, because, you know, you're able to pour into kids and really help them to see themselves in that position. And now they see that example in front of them.
Right.
But that example is not just in the big things, it's the little things. It's how you handle traffic and when that person cuts you off, you know?
That's the truth.
They're watching.
Yes, they are.
They're watching you.
They are.
And we have to, you know, my grandfather used to say, the hardest part about being the best, and it's a blank, you fill in that blank with whatever it is you want it to be. But he said, the hardest part about being the best, whatever it is your own self-control. Your own self-control. And that was impactful even at a younger age to me, but he's right. You know, and that's one of those examples. If you don't think that you can find a mentor, just understand you're always a mentor.
Right.
You're always a mentor. They're watching what you do more than they're listening to what you say.
That's so true. Now, I know your books are geared more towards the ages groups of 5 to 9, but do you have like any plans to write a book for some of the older kids?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm working on a novel. It talks a bit about, it's got a complicated plot, but it's a lot of real life stuff.
Okay.
And you know, I'm writing a lot of poetry. I've got a poetry book that I'm working on right now as well.
Okay.
But you know, I try to reach different markets and different age groups.
Right.
I've been asked to write a young adult series, and I'm working on that. You know, I'm working on that as well. But I want to, you know, I want to get some of these other projects done before I publish that book, and I want to do some more research. You know, as much as I think I know,
right.
I want to learn more. Plus, times change and things change, and I want to make sure that I'm up on that, because, you know, once you reach that target group, and there are some authors out there that are really doing a great job of it, but if you can reach and impact that group, you have their attention for a moment, and I want to make the best of a moment.
No, I definitely get that. Now, with the whole, you know, for 2020, we've been plagued with COVID so much, and probably going to be a portion of 2021 as well. So do you have any virtual events planned, like for kids? I don't know if it's virtual story time or anything like that where parents can sign up for it maybe in the future so that they can have the kids come on and meet you. I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no, you know, I actually intended to have story time with Papa earlier this year, and with so much going on with work and just, you know, keeping everything moving, and I've had a lot going on in my personal life as well. And again, if I'm going to do something, I want to be able to put the level of effort to display the excellence that I expect, right? So, but I do want to, in the beginning of next year, have some virtual opportunities. And I think that there's actually some schools down here in South Florida that are talking about having new some virtual conversations. But yes, so the question, the answer is yes. It'll be more towards the end of the first quarter, around March.
Okay.
When I try to put together these virtual conversations. And you know, I want to be able to make it interactive. That's my big thing. You know, I don't want to be just talking head, just talking to kids. I want them to be able to answer questions or give me thumbs up or, you know, that sort of thing. So I really want to put together a good program.
No, I definitely understand that. Now, besides being a great father, husband, I know you're a hardworking family man, businessman. What do you want to be remembered for the most?
Well,
it's a loaded question.
it's a loaded question. No, you know, it's funny, but I talk about the three reasons why I do the things I do. One is build character. Two is intergenerational connection. But three is legacy, right? My grandfather left a legacy with me because you're hearing about my grandfather decades after his passing.
Right.
But that's, you know, what I would love my legacy to be is that I loved people. And I helped where I could. And that's whether that's, you know, here in my community or it's around the world, if it's reaching that one kid, I'd love for somebody to remember me like I remember my grandfather. Like I remember, you know, the guy who came to our kindergarten class when I was 5 years old. And as he exited the facility, and, you know, all we knew was that he was important because we all got out of class and went to the auditorium to listen to him, right? And as he walked out, I remember he was a big guy, really tall, must have been a basketball player or something. But as he walked out, I don't know why, but he stopped and he got down to my level and he said, "You're going to do great things one day." And that's all he said. That's all he said. But when I was a kid growing up where I grew up, and where there were moments that I hated my life, and there were moments that I didn't think that I was going to be able to make it, or there were moments that I was listening to the negative bombardment that was coming at me from people that I know and I didn't know alike, I remember his words.
That's good.
I remember his words. And that helped me to get through those moments. And it also helped me to remember that there was somebody out there. You know, my grandfather obviously had, Papa told me a lot of great things that I held on to, but that's what I want to be remembered for. You know, that it's one of my grandfather's statements too, is life, success in life is not about what you gain, it's about who you touch.
Yep.
And that's what I'd love to be remembered for. So as many ways as I can do that, I'd want to do that, and my dream would be, and then you will laugh at this, but my dream would be to touch people and they not know who I am.
I think that's awesome.
It's really awesome. I mean, I saw a story of a guy who just, you know, he would walk up to people and just pay for the groceries.
Right.
And I remember times when my mom was going to the grocery store and, you know, she didn't know how she was going to get enough for all the kids with the little bit of money she had, and the struggles of, you know, I can't get that, wait, that's cheaper. And, you know, and I'd love to have that moment where you go up and just pay for it. Just walk away.
Right.
Tell them God loves you and just walk away.
And just walk away. Yep. You know? Nothing in return expected. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I like how you were saying too that, you know, for that gentleman that, knelt down and told you that you were going to do great things one day, and how those positive words just kept, I guess, you know, kept with you. And I think sometimes kids, depending on their circumstances or their situation, they are bombarded or surrounded by so much negativity that they probably can't see that light. And sometimes even if someone does give them like a little ray of hope, I think sometimes they're so surrounded by that negativity that it's hard for them to grab onto it. So it was great that you were able to, and hopefully that through the things that you're doing in the community and others, you know, including myself, that we can help kids to see that little ray of hope and to hang on to it, and that they can accomplish their goals, their dreams, whatever they want to do out of life, but to just focus on that, you know, that positive energy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that there's an element of truth with that too, right? So when I go into school, I ask kids a couple things, and it's so funny to see the reactions of not just them, but their teachers. So I'll ask kids, "Have you ever heard knowledge is power?" You know, and everyone says, "Yeah," they raise their hand and everything. And I'll say, "I disagree with that." And teachers' eyes swell up, boy. You'd have thought I said something, you know, just completely atrocious. But what I explained to them is, listen, if I have the knowledge to make a sandwich, who eats? If I have the knowledge to drive a car, who gets there? Nobody. Now, when I put the elements of that sandwich together, then somebody eats.
Right.
When I get in that car and I put you in that car and we go, then somebody gets there. So knowledge, in my opinion, knowledge in itself is not power, but applied knowledge is power. Knowledge is potential. Applied knowledge is power. Because mm-hmm. you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't ever do anything with it, you've not helped anyone. You know, so it's that, you know, it's that element of it's not just, you know, you can be anything you want. That's not, you know, really true. If I wanted to be an NBA superstar right now, I can't. That's just facts. But what I tell kids is you can be anything you work hard to be. Anything you work hard to be. And that is true.
Right.
You know, so, you know, because during that work, you'll realize if it's something that you can, if it's something that you really want to do or not, right?
Right.
But yeah, that's true. You know, anything you work hard to be, you can be, and that's true. You know, so it's being able to really provide some you know, truth and encouragement to young kids. And one of the things that really impacted me, just talking about legacy. So when my grandfather passed, I remember it being just extremely cold, and it was a thunderstorm, which I thought was weird because we didn't really have thunderstorms, and it was, you know, in the 30s.
Right.
But there were like 300 people at his funeral, which I thought was amazing, right?
Yeah.
So many people came out and those elements to just pay respect. And then, you know, as people walked by, when we got to the graveside, people were telling my mom and her brothers and sisters these stories about my grandfather that no one knew. That, you know, how he, you know, there were people that I worked with him in the summers up until he passed, and we would cut certain people's yards, and I saw that lady, and she said, "You don't know this, but your grandfather would cut my yard for free since my husband passed because I couldn't afford it." You know, or he'd say, you know, "Hey, you know, my grandfather dug and covered grave as well, part of all the businesses that he did." And, you know, lady came and she talked about how her husband was so mean to my grandfather when they first met. And, you know, because, you know, North Carolina at that time was very racially tense. It's, I'm not going to say it's perfect now, but
right.
back then it was really, really different. And, you know, she talked about how when her husband passed, how my grandfather buried him for free. You know, and it's like, you didn't just these story after story after story. You didn't know, and nobody knew any of this. None of it. He never mentioned any of it. People that he supported financially, people that he would just do things for.
At the kindness of his heart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's who he was. And that's who he was remembered for being.
Yep.
And that's a legacy. That's something to be proud of.
No, I agree with you. Now, I have just a few more questions because I don't want to keep you too long. But before I get into these other questions, let's just tell our listeners where they can purchase the books. And that's at Pawpaw, right? PawpawTales.com?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So my website is PawpawTales.com. It's www.pawtales.com. So it's www.pawtales.com. LES.com. So that's the best place to get my books. You can get them on Amazon and places like that, but you know, a few people told me that Amazon didn't have them in stock. So the best place is to go to my website and get them. I put some deals on there, and sometimes I'll even be able to autograph it for you if
awesome.
You send me a note.
Okay.
That's info at pawpawtales.com. I'd be happy to autograph books. And I think that's a very unique gift for a child that the author autographs the note to them. So, but yes, so my website's the best place to get the books.
Okay, awesome. Make sure everyone that you go out and order the book. Also, for part of the for this podcast, Canvas of the Soul is going to do a contest. So, for the first 20 people that go to pawpawtales and order, some books, then we will put you into a raffle to win an Amazon Echo Dot or Amazon gift card. So Make sure you go out to pawpawtales.com and order your books today. And like Thomas stated, he will autograph the books. And I definitely agree. There's nothing like having an autographed book. I'm a reader. If you come to my house, my husband's always trying to get rid of my books because I have so many books. But I just love to read. I've always loved to read. And so I just think that that's a wonderful gift for a kid to have. And the books are unique. They teach your kids, you know, they teach them about character. Just like Thomas said, just using the stories and the experiences that he had with his grandfather. So I believe you as the parents that are listening will be able to relate as well as your kids. So just a couple more questions for you, Thomas. I know that we probably have a lot of aspiring writers out there that want to write. They may have been, you know, writing a book all this time, but they don't know how to get it published, or they feel defeated. How would you encourage them to, you know, to move forward and to accomplish this dream? How can they do that? How can you encourage them to do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing I would say is if you have a story, people want to hear it. And I would encourage people to write 100 words a day. That was the advice that was given to me, and it worked, you know, because the hardest part about writing and any creative, you know, may say this, is just taking that moment, taking that time to sit down and focus and to dedicate that time to writing. So write 100 words a day. What you'll likely find is that 100 turns into 500 and 1,000, and you get in that habit of it. So the first thing you have to do is get it out, get what's in you out, and then the process of editing and refining that starts to take over until you get a finished product. The second thing is, you know, I went to all of the big publishing houses and submitted my manuscripts to them. And I got a mountain full of notifications of, you know, this is not quite what we're looking for. But here's what really changed my perspective on things is, you know, we're in staffing, right? So right. One of the clients that we were working with actually at that time was in North Carolina, and they wanted to hire some temporary employees. And so we went there, and I'm like, oh, this is great, because I'm going to see inside a publishing house, and you know, I could really get some tips on my own personal books. And I said, well, what are employees going to be doing? So they walked me into a room, and that room had tables full of manila envelopes.
Oh,
and
wow.
They said, well, they're going to take the content of these envelopes, and there's going to be an envelope inside the envelope. They're just going to put that in there. They'll take one of those letters, put it in that envelope as well, and they're going to mail it out. That's it. I was like, well, that's simple enough. And I said, well, what's in here? Is it, because I'm concerned about them having visibility into any private information or company information or, you know, financial. They said, no, that's just book manuscripts that people sent in.
Wow.
That was an aha moment for me.
So they don't really even read them, right?
Sometimes, yeah. There are many of them that, I mean, you know, you have to imagine they probably get thousands, right? So I realized that, you know what, if you want something to happen, and this is something that I've put into my conversations, especially with 2020 and all of the challenges that, you know, high school graduates and folks like that face. And I'd had the opportunity to speak to a high school class. And you really have to be impatient. You have to be impatient with change. You have to be impatient with progress. And sometimes you have to go do things yourself.
Yeah.
And what we have now that we didn't have back then was the internet. And
oh my God, yes.
You can learn anything. I mean, I had a friend of mine that I talked about him before. He published books against Stefano Nolan. He published books because he's a musician. And we published our children's books together. And this ties directly into your question. But I talked to him when I first met him back in 2011 maybe. And I'd talk about, you know, hey, I've got these children's books I'm gonna write, and I showed him the manuscripts, and he's like, oh, that's pretty good. 6 months later, we were had another conversation, and I start talking again about, hey, man, I've got these children's books I'm going to write, and, you know, I think it's great. And he said, yeah, you told me about that. And then maybe another 6-8 months later, we were sitting at dinner one night, and we were talking about things that we were going to do, and I said, yeah, man, I've got these children's books. He said, hey, do me a favor. And I said, yeah, what's that? He said, don't talk about your books again. Man, that was a knife.
Wow.
It was a knife. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, look, dude, he said, you have a phenomenal idea, but you're going to do it or you're not. And if you're not, don't talk about it.
Wow, so profound, but true.
That was the moment I needed. It was the moment I needed. It hurt, but he said it out of love. And he said, you know what? You inspired me to write children's books. And that's what we did. We learned. I learned how to use InDesign. And I learned how to use Illustrator and Photoshop. And I learned how to use all of these tools and create. And I learned how books are written, the difference in publishing, the different printing models, and what colors you need for digital print versus, paper and books and offset printing. I learned how to build a website. I learned. So what I would tell your listeners and what I would tell folks that have a dream, that have a book out there, is don't let anyone discourage your dream. Do it. Yeah. You do it. Now, I love to pour into others, and I love to help others. And I've had plenty of people who come to me and say, hey, you know, I mean, obviously, I created my own label. So
right.
I can publish books as well. But, you know, if you have it out there, if you have it in you, put it out there, because somebody is going to want to hear it. Now, obviously, you want to put out a good product.
Right.
So you have to, you know, you want to do your due diligence. But that's what I would say to your readers. One, get it out. Get it out of them and onto paper, onto a screen, so that they can start the process with it. But also, you know, action is the fuel that powers the engine of your dreams. I put that in a lot of my books. Because, again, knowledge isn't power, but applied knowledge is. So it's the same thing. You got to do something with it. So, learn as much as you can from whether it's reading or doing your research. I spent many nights at Barnes & Noble's and bookstores and reading how other authors articulate their stories and, some of the newer and some of the older. And, that's what I would say. Get the books out there. And then if you can't find someone that's going to publish it for you, get a friend or two and publish them yourself. You can do it. It's
right.
Possible. I'm the proof of that. My books are, I compare my books to any book in Barnes & Noble's from a quality perspective. I even use thicker, I learned the weights of paper and the difference in glossing. And so my books, I point that out when I sell my books, that the pages, feel the pages, they're stronger than the average page because I built mine for quality. This has my name on it. And I was able to know the difference between that. So nobody can just come shove something at me and say, oh, no, this is good for you. No, I understand what those things are. So it was a lot of learning.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So there you have it, guys. First of all, stop talking about it and do something about it. Create your action. Action speaks louder than words. And you taught me a lot just from those couple of sentences. I was over here feeling the weight of your paper of your book. I was like, I was like, wow, that's the thought. But you're right. I mean, if you want it to be successful and it's your brand and you want it to be right, so you have to do that research and put that legwork into it to find out exactly what you need to make your product special, special for you and for your customer. So I like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was sitting here feeling the pages. I was like, okay.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. My grandfather used to have this little treasure chest on his desk, and it was just the most gaudy little treasure chest you ever wanted to see. And again, this is years and years and years ago, but on top of that treasure chest was written, Inside this chest lies the secret to success. And you open the chest up, in the largest letters that would fit, it said W-O-R-K.
Good work.
Work. Put in that work. So, yeah, that's the key. That's the secret.
Wow. Well, I really appreciate you allowing me to interview you and to share your story and your gift with our listeners. Again, guys, we want to thank William T. Holt, or as I call him, Thomas Holt. But you got to use his government name if you really want to find him out there, right? So William T. Holt. And don't forget to purchase your book, and he will autograph a copy of it for your child, or if it's just for you. And that's at www.pawpawtales, that's PAPAWTALES.com. You can also find it on Amazon, but I think if you go directly to his site, he has more printed books available, I think, than Amazon at this moment. So,
I can't autograph them from Amazon.
Right, can't autograph them from Amazon. And I have my autographed copy, so thank you so much. So definitely get your autographed copies. And Thomas, we really appreciate you being a guest on our show, and hopefully you will return.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's been my pleasure to be able to spend this time with you and your listeners. And let me know anytime. I'll be happy to return.
Thank you so much. And there you have it, listeners. Until next time. Canvas of the Soul. This has been your host, Anissa Patman, and stay tuned to listen to Thomas live on all platforms. So we know that Spotify, Google, Apple, and so many more. So definitely go to pawpawtales.com and get your book today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Canvas of the Soul podcast. You can contact us at info@canvasthesoul.com. You may learn more about our podcast at canvasthesoul.com.